God is awesome all the time. Today is the last day that you're going to be depressed, ever. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be so awesome if today was the last day that you'd ever be depressed? We're going to talk, we're talking about Elijah. Next week, unless something changes, next week we're going to start on the armor, okay? The armor of God in spiritual warfare. But today, we want to go ahead and we're going to finish up. Wasn't that beautiful music today? Amen. Glory. That was really special when DC jumped on that piano, too. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb. I'm sorry, I just washed my tongue and I can't do a thing with it. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We've got him in the wilderness. Now we're going to get him out. Elijah, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, so powerful that when Jesus came on the scene, they said that when John the Baptist came, he would have the spirit of Elijah. So this is very, very, very powerful how God works in our lives and how God can take the greatest man and show us all his wrinkles, his blemishes, his freckles, his mess-ups, so that we can know that, honestly, no matter how perfect you think you are, you can still mess up. Look at somebody and say, you can still mess up. You ain't got to say, look, don't ask them this, but it'd be cool if you could look at him and say, have you messed up today? Amen. God's good. All the time, God is good. Let's go ahead. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, you getting an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, buddy. You kill my guys, I'm going to kill you. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Now he's running for his life. This is how people get when they get depressed. He's running because he thinks he's going to be killed. And when he stops running for a few minutes to rest, he says, God, kill me. Crazy, isn't it? And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his hand, or at his head. And when he had eaten, drank, and laid down again, the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for this journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went into the strength of that mountain 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of the Lord. When he came thither into the cave and lodged there, behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What has caused you to be in the mental, physical, spiritual predicament that you're in? And I want to do something for you today about it. When I talked about, just then was reading about the angel came unto him and touched him. As I spoke that, I honestly felt angels in this congregation reaching out to touch people today, to lift them up, to do something special. You need to put your receivers up, because it's here. He's here. His angels are here. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, and you are on your throne. I ask you right now, God, to minister, Lord, in a way only you can. Touch us, God, in a very powerful way. Help us, Lord, that let nothing be said through strife or vain glory, but let everything be said for the edification of your body and for the glorification of your Son. We thank you, God, for all that you do and all that you've already done and what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Y'all can be seated. Y'all were already seated, most of you. Now you can be, the rest of you can be seated. Amen. I remember when I was a younger guy, I called my mama, and I was excited because I had just met the woman of my dreams. I said, now what should I do? My mother had an idea. Why don't you send her flowers and on the card invite her to your apartment for a home-cooked meal? I thought it was a great strategy, and a week later, she came to the dinner. My mother called the next day and said, how did things go? And I said, I was totally humiliated. She insisted on washing the dishes. Mama said, what's wrong with that? I said, because we hadn't started eating yet. That one crashed hard. Bam! Mark that one down. Never use... Throw away the book. Throw away the page, not the book. The page. Throw away the page. All right. Now we're going to talk about. I'm going to bring it all the way up to date for those that have not been here for the whole Elijah journey. So be a few slides from each one. Then we're going into today how God got him out of it. Because remember, God wants us to be ready for spiritual warfare. Jesus said to occupy till he comes does not mean to take up space. Amen? Does not mean that you just fill a pew. To occupy till he comes means it's a military term. It means to be productive. It means to take back that which has been taken from us. And remember this, this is where we're going to be going next week with the armor. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? So now, here it goes. We're getting ready just for the last few weeks. Here's some slides. It's going to bring us back up to this time right now. Something I want everybody to understand in here is that every one of us are warriors. Not warriors. Some of us are both. Amen? Can you say, instead of saying mighty warrior, saying I'm the worry warrior? God has called all of us to step up to the plate and take care of business. We got to understand, too, it's very important. That's why church is so important. That's why God's word is so important. I can't fight Satan on what somebody told me. I can't fight Satan on my grandmama's old spiritual remedies. I've got to see the word of God for myself because it's a personal battle, and I've got to know what God's saying to me. I don't have to just have his logos. I need his rhema word. His rhema word is a fresh word for what you're in your circumstance. But all this spiritual warfare is fought is always fought on a different realm. And so when it's fought, it's amazing how after you come through a spiritual battle, how you can be totally drained. Anybody ever fought a spiritual battle and been totally drained? Okay? The reason it's totally drained is because it takes a toll on you emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So because it takes a toll on us, it's important that, number one, we're aware of that. We got to know that it can happen to anybody, even Elijah. We got to know also, we got to be active, finding ways to keep ourselves on board, to keep ourselves from falling on our face, always have something ready and always working some way. And also, we need to be attuned because when it happens, we got to know that things are going on. So Elijah has called everybody to spiritual warfare. Elijah was called to spiritual warfare, and God is calling us to a life of spiritual warfare. So here it is. Is that any of y'all? Has it ever been y'all? You're running on empty. You give it all you got, You're running on empty. Matter of fact, here's the little thing, a quote we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Have you gone as far as you can go? Have you taken all that you can take? Have you given all that you can give? Wow. Welcome to running on empty. I know a lot of strong Christians that, although you might not see it, they're running on empty. A lot of times it's because other people are depending so much on you that either they lax their hold or they don't fight, and you're fighting not only for you, but you're fighting for you, somebody beside you. You're fighting for your household. You're fighting for your workmates, whoever it is. And it can take such a toll, although people might not see it. They may not even be able to tell it. But you find yourself, you're trying everything you can to hold it together, but you find yourself mentally, physically, spiritually exhausted. And when you get here, it is so easy to get depressed. Now, there's all kinds of depression. Now, there's acute depression. There's chronic depression. There's clinical depression. There's situational depression. There's a relational depression. So there's all kinds of depression. But when you find yourself like this, you can get yourself depressed. And it's very important that we understand that God has got something special for us. And let's watch this. Here's Elijah. We talked about it last week. Here's Elijah. He is running on empty. Have you ever rode down the road and saw that on your gas tank? Usually when that happens, there's not a gas tank, not a gas station around. Yeah, the dummy light didn't dummy me fast enough. All right. Okay. So you remember the other week when I talked about the nuns? The nuns had run out of gas. They had nowhere. The gas station was down the road. They had nowhere else to, nothing else to put the gas in, so they carried some bedpans with them. And they filled up the bedpan gas, and they come back and were pouring that from the gas in their car from their bedpan, and the guy rode by, and the other guy said, "Now that's faith." Woo! All right. So, running on empty. First, he was running on a feeling. The Bible says he'd gone in, he had rebuilt the altar of God. He had challenged 850 prophets. He had rebuilt that altar. He had called down fire from heaven. And then after he called fire down from heaven and got everybody else's on the same page, then he goes down and kills the prophets, and he runs back up on the mountain seven times to pray for rain. So he's running on feelings right now. He's running on emotions. I see people all the time. And I might say, look, you need to sit down. I'm fine. I said, you really need to sit down. Take a deep breath. Go get you some water. Go get you a drink. Go get some coffee. Do something. And they go, yeah, I'm fine. I said, yeah, but right now you're running on feelings. You're running on emotions, especially in the death. You're running on emotions. And if you're not careful when you're running on emotions, pretty soon you're just going to be on autopilot. And you get on autopilot and crazy things happen. Okay, so first he was running on feelings. Then he was running on fear because Jezebel says, I'm killing you within 24 hours for all you've done against my guys. I'm going to kill you. And she's supposed to be one of God's people. And so have you ever seen the church kill their people? All right, so here he goes. So now he's running on fumes, pure spiritual exhaustion. He's gone into the desert. And he's gone until he sees this juniper tree, which is supposed to be, could be an oasis. And it's at this spiritual oasis that maybe, just maybe, he can get some refreshment. But there's really nothing there. He's left everybody behind. He's all by himself. So now, and here's, we talked about it, the depression or the symptoms of depression. Let me just read these again. I can't see them from up there. Thoughts of death. Tiredness and lack of energy, angry outburst, no concentration, loss of interest, feelings of sadness, reduced appetite or increased appetite, and sleep disturbances, which means either you can't sleep at all or you can't wake up, one or the other. So this is what happens when somebody starts getting depressed, and many times you're already experiencing half of those symptoms before you actually stop and realize that you're depressed. You're already there. And you're going, Pastor, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. And I say, I know why you're feeling this way. You're depressed. Yeah, you got to understand. This is part of what I told you in the beginning. You got to understand what the symptoms are, understand what's going on, and know that you can get it too. There's nobody in here that is totally, totally got slick 50 on them, and depression will never hit them. It's just different types of depression, different levels of depression, but anybody can be depressed. So here's Elijah's tank. Elijah, when after he did all this famous work for the Lord, he changed his focus. He ceased to walk by faith. The Bible said when he saw that, when he built that altar, when he challenged those prophets, when he prayed for rain, when he outrun the chariots 18 miles, he was running by, we'll see him by faith. But once he heard, he was totally exhausted from his spiritual warfare. And when Jezebel gave him the threat, the Bible said that when he saw that, she threatened him. There's a couple of things to that. Number one, when he saw that, also he could have been watching her military start to pile up to go get him. Maybe been walking around knocking on doors trying to find him. So he had to leave the area. So he changed his focus from walking by faith to walking by sight. Have you ever done that? He changed his force from boldness to fear. He arose. He stood up against 850 prophets. And now he's running from one woman. I'm going to refrain from any kind of jokes now, on account that I might get hurt. Yeah, see, I got so nervous when I said it, I dropped my piece of candy. Amen. Ain't God good? He changed his feelings. He became depressed. He goes and finds that juniper tree in the desert, and he just sits there and says, God, kill me. I know nobody in here has ever said, God, kill me. Nobody has ever said, God, I wish I was never born. Have you? You ain't got to raise your hands. But have you ever said that? Oh, God, I'd be better off dead. Or my friends and family would be better off if I was dead. That's where you're at. So now, here it is. I really believe at this time, at this hour, either here or on Facebook Live or later on YouTube, there's many people that that's their life slogan. I got nothing left. No. I play by the rules. I crossed all my T's. I dotted all my I's. I did everything I believe God required of me. And still, he came. I thought I heard from you, God. I thought I got it under control with you, God. We got this. And you find out you ain't got this. And right now, your motto, your slogan, the way you feel inside is, I got nothing left, God. Nothing. If you're not there today, you may have been there. And if you're not there, have not been there, I promise you, you'll get there one day. I got nothing left. Now, how did God get Elijah beyond this? What did God do with Elijah to help him through this time? You see, what happens is when we get feeling this way, we think God has forsaken us. We think God is not really worried about us. You see him doing for somebody else, but he's not doing for you. You think, well, I saw God working for this family last week, and I saw God working for this guy when he was in the same situation. But where are you now, God? And you're thinking that God doesn't see, God doesn't hear, God doesn't understand, I'm here to tell you that God never took his eye off of you. Not one time. He never took his hand off of you. God loves you. So what happened? The very first thing, fresh provision. Let's just read this. And he lay and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And when he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. Y'all say the second time. And said, arise and eat, for this journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and then went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. How many's ever heard of restorative sleep? If it's possible when somebody's really, really upset, and doctors will do this, if somebody's really upset, the doctor will give you a sedative. Why does the doctor give you a sedative? It's not so you're going to be quiet, not aggravate everybody. That's not what he's giving it to you for. He says, let me help you. I remember I've told it before, that night, or that when the doctor come and told me for 4 days and four nights, you can lose your wife and your daughter at any time, either one of them or both of them at any time. And they kept saying, let us give you something to help you sleep. And I kept telling them, no, I don't need that. I got somebody that helps me sleep. I got somebody that helps me handle this. And he made me promise, with tears in his eyes, he made me promise, if you get in a bind, you come see me because you need some sleep. What's restorative sleep? Now I'm going to do a little bit of counseling stuff, just a little bit, because God is the king of psychology. He's the one that wrote it. How many's ever gone to Walmart at 9 or 10 o'clock at night and you saw these shopping carts up at the front desk and they're full of all kinds of items, just full items, just full. Nothing matches, there's just all a bunch of items. And then they call out, I think it's called pickup or boxing or whatever it is. It's not boxing, but they call the crowd. And guys come and pick up these carts. And they go and they put them back where they belong because this is stuff they found in the wrong place. So they go find stuff in the wrong place and they put them in this cart, push it to the front. The other guys come and pick up the cart and go and put them in the right place. And then make it nice and neat, so when you grab one thing, two things fall out. During the day, especially when you're depressed, under a lot of pressure, you're like Walmart. On the shelf, there's stuff on the shelf that don't belong there. There's stuff on the shelf been knocked over. There's stuff in the floors. It's like a mess. And when you go to sleep at night and get a good, deep sleep, what happens is, and in even an REM sleep, God, in all his mercy, takes all those shopping carts and he puts everything back in the right place. When you went to bed, you were scrambled-brained. I can't think! You know why? It's because everything's off the shelf in the wrong spot. Right? Defragging a computer. But once you go to sleep and get a good night's sleep, if somebody said, let me sleep on it and wake up in the morning, God, and I got the idea, got what you need, is because while you were asleep, God in all of his mercy designed us so that when we go to sleep, all the carts are put in the right spot. And when you wake up, your brain is back in shape to do what it needs for the coming day. And if you don't sleep, you see people that get insomnia or don't sleep, what happens? They do some crazy things We've seen people when they go postal and they find out, well, he didn't sleep for the last three nights. God was like this with Elijah. I want you to lay down. I want you to sleep. But not only lay down and sleep, but I'm going to send refreshment while you sleep. So watch this. He recuperated. He slept. Then he ate. God rose him up and then said, eat. Now he re-energizes. He says, you still ain't got enough. Go back to sleep. He goes back to sleep, recuperates, recuperative sleep, and then he's energized again. God does four things under that juniper tree. I promise you tonight, today, that if your life is about to drive you crazy and you haven't been able to sleep and everything's on the wrong shelf, let God do that with you. Try sleeping. I don't mean just sleep to be sleeping. I mean when you sleep, say, God, when I lay down, God, you said you'd give me rest, that you would restore me. I thank you for this sleep. I thank you for this rest. And you rest. And then when you get up, you eat something. And then if you need to, go back to sleep. And then get back up and eat something. Get yourself ready, because what's coming, when it comes, needs your full attention. So, God was restoring him physically. He prepared him food and gave him rest. God was also restoring him spiritually. How many, until I just told you that God does the same thing, how many even realize that when you sleep and all this stuff gets put back on the shelf where it's supposed to be, God's preparing you spiritually for what you need to do before you? Because now you can think. It's very important. God was propelling him to go to Mount Horeb. He was just going to go in the desert and die. And God said, nope, you're not going to lay under this tree and die. I need you to get up because you ain't through yet. I'm here to tell some of you right now, you ain't through yet. Look at somebody and tell them, you ain't through yet. Tell somebody, you ain't through yet. God's got something for you. Next, a fresh profession. He says, okay, Elijah, what are you doing here? Of course, God sent him 40 days later. He's there. But God sent him there so he could ask him this question. He had to help him to get his mind back right so he could even answer the question. And he came hither in the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. He still ain't got it. God's been taking care of him. He stands up on the mountain and starts singing, how great I am, how great I am. I'm the only one. When you get depressed, if you're not careful, you will get a false humility. A false humility is actually pride. And you're thinking you're the only one that's even going through this. You don't fall for that. Do not fall for this. Do not fall for it. Satan is trying to take you down. Do not fall for this. He said, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces of the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Wow. What are you doing here? God knew that he needed to unload. Man, he needed to unload. He was so full of what had been happening to him that he got his wrong perspective. He got everything wrong. He began to think he was the only one going through any trouble, that he was the only one that ever stood up for God. I mean, he was so messed up in his thinking because of that depression. He needed to unload to the proper person, God, the proper way on the mount of God. And we need to talk to God about what we're going through. And then we need to find somebody we can trust to talk it out. Somebody we can trust that when you tell them they're not going to take and blow it out of proportion, or they're not going to take it out and make you look like a bad guy, or they're going to take it and use it against you. So that's part of what I do as a pastor counselor, a pastoral counselor, is you can talk to me, and I promise it's not going anywhere. But if you got a friend you can talk to, that's, don't go talk. Look, if you're having a marriage problem, don't go talk to a single person. If you're having a spiritual problem, don't go talk to a heathen. When I want to know what kind of bass strings to buy, I go to D.C. Don't I, son? When I was going to get my wireless, what did I tell you? Tell me what you think is the best. I went to my life the best to find out the best thing to do. Amen? If my car was running bad, I did not go to Bethany. Bless her heart, she was beautiful and she was full of love. But she, other things she could do with the car was wreck it. If I wanted my car wrecked, here, Bethany, take the keys. One day I let her drive because somebody had to let her drive so she could get her license. We're riding down 17, they're working on the road. And I said, the man's holding up a flag, Bethany. She goes, I see him. I said, well, do you think, you know what that flag means? She said, well, I think I should stop. I said, I don't think. And that poor man, bless his heart, he grabbed his flag and he held it up and he went. By the time she got in the food line, as soon as we got in the parking lot, I said, stop the car. She said, but Daddy, we got a long ways to go. I said, stop the car. She said, Daddy, I got to. I said, stop the car. She said, now what do you do, Daddy? It's still running. I said, I don't care. Just get out. And I stopped the car right there in the parking lot. I don't know where it was at. And I put it in park, and I said, thank you, God. And she was outside saying, I said, just go in food line, I'll find you. So if you needed my car worked on, I didn't go to Bethany. Find somebody that you can talk to that's going to really be able to help you. If nothing else, a good listener that can keep their mouth shut. Amen? So now, fresh perspective. Again, what you doing here? God showed him that he doesn't always do it the same way. There's two kind of people in this world. There's go-to people and there's know-it-alls. I ask God all the time, help me not to be a know-it-all. Help me be a go-to person. A go-to person, you can get good advice. They can help you. A know-it-all, they're not going to let you even talk. They're just going to tell you. No matter what the subject, they can tell you something. So God's moving. And somebody will tell you, a know-it-all will tell you, well, God don't do it that way. I'm here to tell you something. If God's speaking to you and it does not violate his word, listen. You got that compass, the word of God. If it does not violate that word, you listen because God's talking. So he showed me that always doesn't always communicate the same way. He showed him that his own perspective, Elijah's perspective, was wrong. He showed him that he still had a group of people that he could trust and realize there's more to it than you actually see. I think I tell that to people more than anything else is. I know it seems like the world is falling apart around you, but there's more to this. And God's doing more. Matter of fact, C.S. Lewis was the one that wrote this. God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. We got to trust him. We got to trust him. And a fresh purpose. I'm getting ready to close. I said getting ready. We also sing, I'm getting ready to this world. We ain't gone yet, have we? And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness. I'm going to finish reading up here. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was a small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped himself in his mantle and went out and stood until the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, Elijah, what you doing here? Ask him again. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord and for they have forsaken the covenant. But here we go having that same conversation, but now God's doing it a whole different way. And the Lord says unto him, go return to the wilderness to Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. So he's still working. I got more stuff for you to do. And anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall you anoint to be king over Israel, and Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah. Sometimes I think hooked on phonics don't even work on some of these names. That thou shalt anoint to be prophet in your room. In other words, you got some people to anoint, you got some people to train. Go take care of the kingdom work, physical work. Go take care of my work, the spiritual. Do you know that Elijah ministered to Elijah 10 years? Here he was thinking he was going to die, and God uses him for 10 more years. God weren't through with him. And I promise you, God's not through with you. You know, you got to understand that although there's only one anointing, God anoints us over and over and over and over again. And God will use us to pass on that anointing. Get ready. Today I'm talking to somebody. You decide if you want to get back up. You decide if this is the last chapter in your life. You don't have to be defined by your situation. It's time to get up. Now, I've got my famous theologian that wants to talk to y'all today. Let's see if I can get it working here.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is gonna be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor, not to go through with this, okay? This is only gonna end up bad for you, and it's gonna end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke, and that I'm gonna be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't gonna believe this. where you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life.
Wow. How many had that conversation with God? Matter of fact, when I watched that movie and that started playing, I thought about the times I stood in my prayer closet and had a similar conversation with my Heavenly Father. How many's ever heard of a boxer named James Corbett? In the 1800s, James Corbett, he wrote something, and I've got it here, and I want to read it to you. Let me find it. They asked James Corbett, now back when he was fighting, it was different. They would stand toe-to-toe without gloves, and they would fight each round till somebody fell, and that was a round. And they kept going until the person fell and never got back up. The longest bout on record is from 1893. It went 110 rounds. And the winner stayed in the hospital 6 weeks. The winner broke every bone in his hand. They asked James Corbett, another champion boxer, how do you do this? Of course, the World Boxing Federation came in. They changed the rules. Now it's down to maybe 12 rounds, maybe 15 rounds, depends if it's championship or not. And they have to wear a certain kind of gloves, and when they're practicing, they have to wear headgear. There's all kinds of stuff and mouthpieces. Here's what he said. He said, how have you been champion for so long with these 50-100 round fights, toe-to-toe? How have you been so successful for so long? And he said, this was his philosophy. Fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you are so tired you wish your opponent would crack you one across the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. Remembering that the man who always fights one more round is never whipped. And I'm here to tell you today, to all of y'all, you got another round left in you. You do. So why does God allow us to get to this point? I did part of this last week, but I'm finishing it today. Number one, it points to the power of the cross. We all need God's help. We all need God's help. Number two, it brings the message of grace and mercy to life. Now it's personal. I need God's grace. I need God's mercy. I need Him bad. It prompts reliance upon Him and others. I just can't do this by myself. There's no. You heard about what really happened to the Lone Ranger, don't you? The Lone Ranger actually died. Shot by his own bullet. There's no Lone Rangers. It shows us and others that we can still be used even when the worst of situations have taken over. And the greatest of all, when we get in this spot where we got nothing left, nothing, as a child of God, because God knows the end of the story. Elijah had nothing left, but he thought it was over, and he had 10 more years, very productive years, very strong years. And when he went out of here, he didn't go out of here like normal people do, being taken out by an undertaker. He was pulled up by a chariot of fire and a whirlwind. When we get to this point, it challenges us. Get back up, stand up, and show up. They're three entirely different things. I've seen people get back up but not stand up. I've seen people stand up but not show up. That's what God challenges us to do when we get like we're feeling like everything's gone and everything's taken away and we've got nothing left. God needs His church to be the church, especially now. The world has gone absolutely crazy. 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 And some of the stuff people are fighting for now makes absolutely no sense. None. And there's so much that's happening that's not even biblical. It's against God's rules and God's laws, and people are pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and making out, well, as long as man says it's okay. No. God's got to say it's okay. DC, get ready to play something, son. I'm leaving you with this. Everybody stand up. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall, exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint and become tired. How many go down to Hodges Stretch a lot? There's that old catfish farm, and then that catfish farm, I'm not even sure if it's even doing it anymore, but there was eagles up in those trees. And you could always tell. You see all these other birds flying around and doing their thing. But you could always tell when it was a really, really, really bad storm coming. Because all the other birds would be gone. And the eagle would be up flying above the storm. Soaring on the power of that wind that was being generated from that storm, just soaring. All the other birds hid, running for their life, and there's the eagle soaring, soaring, soaring. I love this scripture, because it says we can be like the eagle. I don't know about you, but I want to be like the eagle. And when things are going bad, ride the wind and soar. You know you're doing it when somebody comes to you when you're going through things. You go, how are you doing this? How are you even standing up now? How can you even handle this? It's because you're riding on the wind of the storm, above the storm, like the eagle. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know there's plenty of things in life that we can look at and be upset about. There's so many things in this life that can take our joy, steal our joy. There's so many things in this life that we might look at and say it's unfair. But I promise you, God has a different calculator. God has a different plan. And God can do more in one instant than we can do in a lifetime. We got to trust His plan. We got to trust Him. He wants to send His angel to your pew. The angel's already here. He wants to send His angel to your pew to strengthen you today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you're not sure about where you stand with God, or you know you need to be closer, while nobody's looking around, every eye closed, could you just put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be closer. I need to be closer. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here today and the storms in your life, the threats, like Jezebel did Elijah. He did all this stuff and he was fine. And one little threat, which weren't so little, but one thing, after all the things he encountered, one thing got to him. Some of y'all in here right now, you've put up with a lot, you've done a lot, you've helped a lot, but it's been that one thing, and it's got you. And God wants to touch you today and let you know His hand is on you and your life. And He's got something powerful still in store if you can just learn how to trust Him. I want everybody right now to put that hand up. Put the hand up. Put both of them up. Put those hands up. DC didn't know what I was doing today. I didn't know what DC was doing. Well, I did know because he sent it ahead of time. But we didn't coordinate with this. That here's my cup, fill it up, Lord. The Holy Spirit picked that song, not me or DC. DC, play that song again, please. I want us to sing that. And let that angel touch you right now and refill you and give you what you need in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, put his hands up. We're good. If you want to sing, sing. You just want to bask in his presence, bask, but here he is. Here's my cup, Lord. Come on, sing it. I lift it up, Lord. Come on, sing it. Sting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me one more time, come on. It's happening, some of y'all are getting it. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch this congregation. Let them feel your power, your anointing. And God, those that are in a strong battles right now, Lord, they're suffering battle fatigue. Touch them, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Let the Holy Spirit minister in a way that they have not felt in years. And we thank you for that, God. And we thank you, God, that you have the power and the ability to do what we need done in our lives. Touch us right now, Lord. Touch it and remove that battle fatigue in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. God is so awesome. Man, that was awesome, awesome, awesome. He's going to keep on playing, but we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.